Looking to take your career to the next level? Then get ready. Here comes Dr. Career on CITR, 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or online at citr.ca. He will inform, inspire, and give you practical steps to successfully land your next dream job.
Welcome to Career Fast Track. I'm your host, Philippe Desrochers, also known as Dr. Career. Nice of you to join us today. I have a special guest on the air with us today, but before I introduce him, I want to share with you a few pieces of information you should be aware of. If you are not checking us out every Monday morning in 24 Hours newspaper, do so, please. I'm launching the One Day Dream Job Challenge, which will be on September 9th. On September 9th, I am walking through a four-step process that will show you exactly how to walk into that number one dream company you've always wanted to work for, introduce yourself in a way that doesn't get you kicked out, and more importantly, land yourself an interview on the spot. If you have missed these newspaper articles, go to my blog at WordPress, rather Dr. Career, drcareer.wordpress.com, and check it out. I've met with over 5,000 people individually, and they've all, most of them, have gone to higher education, and yet many of them don't have what they want in terms of their career advancement and achievement. There was something missing. That's when I discovered emotional intelligence. You learn data in school, but it's the use of that data or that information that can make a huge difference in your life. I'm very excited to introduce our guest today. Our guest today is the author of a book called Emotional Intelligence for Dummies. His name is Stephen J. Stein. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here with you, Phil.
Thank you. Stephen, I've got a million questions for you, actually. And I have to say that your book was the first book I wrote of the Dummies series. And I even noticed inside you said, I can't believe I'm writing for this series. But it is an extremely well put together book. So I just want to acknowledge that, and so thank you for putting it together. I've read a lot of books in this area of emotional intelligence. They're quite scientific and complicated. You made yours easy to read. Was that intentional, I assume?
Absolutely, and I guess that's part of the Dummies book series. It's not really designed for dummies, even though it's called a Dummies book. It's really designed for people who are smart in one area but don't know a lot about another area. So if you're, I don't know, a brain surgeon and want to learn how to use a digital camera, you'll get the Dummies book on digital cameras. And what we do when I'm writing this kind of book is try and get you up to speed quickly on what you really need to know about the topic.
I've never heard it put that way. I like the way you put it. Let me first ask you, for the listener, what is emotional intelligence from a big picture?
Okay, well, we can break it down to like three basic things. The first thing is an awareness of your emotions and the emotions of others that you're dealing with. The second is an ability to manage both your own emotions and manage emotions of people around you. And the third area has to do with really using your emotions to do things like make good decisions, to influence other people, or to motivate yourself to do what you really want to do.
Okay, so understanding your emotions, those of others, and then using techniques to be more effective in the use of your emotions.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Why should a listener care about emotional intelligence?
Well, what we've been finding is these three abilities, and they're broken down in a number of different ways, they seem to make a really big difference in a number of aspects of your life. They make a difference in terms of how happy people are with what they're doing. It helps people who are aware or do these things well are in the right career, doing the right thing, and feel at one with what they're doing. There's just a whole series of benefits that we found in about 15 years of research at looking at this.
You know, you brought up the word happy, and you know, we're focusing today, we're slanting it moving into work, but I found the word happy, it just caught me off guard because we work so hard at achieving, and sometimes we could forget the happy. Is it possible to achieve and be happy? And how does emotional intelligence help in that way?
Well, it helps a lot. The first thing is doing what you really enjoy doing. We have a lot of people who just go to work, get a job, get a paycheck, come home, grumble about their day. But people who use emotional intelligence are able to fine-tune what it is they really like to do and what it is they're really good at. So they manage to capitalize on what they do well and kind of stay away from those things they don't do so well. So going to work for them is like fun, you know, like I enjoy what I do. I don't even think of my work as work. It's more like fun and play for me. And a lot of people that we've assessed and evaluated have that same attitude. It's like a TGIM, thank God it's Monday. They're excited about what they do, and they're excited about going to work.
You know, if you're just joining us, we're speaking with the author Stephen J. Stein. He's the author of Emotional Intelligence for Dummies, and we're talking about how having a level of emotional intelligence can help you be more, not only more successful at work, but even happier at work. You talked about in your book, Stephen, about this idea that you can actually make better choices around your careers with this awareness. So someone, let's say, is out there and they don't know what to choose or they're lost, they don't know what they want. How could increasing their level of emotional intelligence help with that decision-making process?
Well, one is it gets you to step back and look at, you know, what do you really enjoy? Sometimes we get people to even go back and think about when they were in high school or in elementary school. Think about the things they really love to do. You know, do they like socializing with others? Do they like playing a musical instrument? Do they like being artistic? Do they like history class? Get in touch with those things that really appeal to you way back when. And if you follow your emotions well, you can sort of reawaken yourself and pursue activities that fit with what you enjoy doing as well as what you're skillful at.
Okay, so that begs a question. So it's through your emotions that are the indicators or the signs. So basically, emotions are very important. You shouldn't be ignoring emotions. Is that right?
Exactly. Think of them as signposts. Exactly. Like that stoplight that you pass when you're driving your car. Red light, green light, yellow light. And when you're doing certain things, you feel good about them and you keep going. Other things, you sort of caution and say, wow, what am I doing here? Do I really want to do this? And then there's those red light things where those are things you'd never want to do, you know, in terms of a career or other things.
You know, in the business world often, or in life, I mean, I think emotions aren't given the respect they should. I think emotions can be seen as bad. Like if you say to someone, oh, they're very emotional, that can come across as negative. So what's the difference between being an emotional person and using emotional intelligence?
Yeah, that's a really good point. We used to divide people up into sort of logical, rational, like Spock on Star Trek, and emotional, and I use my example there is like Lucille Ball, I guess, who would just emote all over the place. And it's not really a true picture of what we're going after. What we really want is to use emotions. We all have emotions. As logical as we think we are, there's always an emotional kind of a tag to what we're doing. And the whole idea here is to be aware of those emotions, not to let them control you or to run away from you, but to be aware of them and to know what they're telling you, to read those sign points and to use them to maximize what you do.
Okay. So it's observing your emotions. So you have to be aware of your emotions. And that was that first point you brought up. Is that correct? So I guess that's the question I'd have for you is how can a person become better aware of their emotions that they should be listening to?
There's a lot of formal training kinds of approaches, things like mindfulness and meditation and, you know, other kinds of systems that help you become more aware of what you're feeling. I think to a certain degree, we all have a sense of what we feel, you know, when we see things or do things. It's a matter of slowing down to a large extent and really, when you think about something and paying attention to how you feel about it, as opposed to just sloughing it off or just trying to be rational about something. It's not letting those emotions control you or take over, but, you know, you're buying a new car, you look at that car, how do you feel about it? You know, just take the time to think about that and to get an experience.
You know, I'll maybe take this opportunity to admit a rather large growth area that I had to go through was this belief that my emotions were very bad and that I should listen to others and that my instincts were not correct. Just all over, it was wrought with problems. And I've learned this throughout my life. And I guess what really wanted me to have you on the show was to have maybe that person out there who maybe doesn't trust themselves. And would you say that an emotion, is intuition linked to emotion?
yeah, to a large degree, intuition is kind of the sense you have when you experience something. And, you know, to a large degree, it's really emotional memory that's involved in that.
Right.
So you're not even aware of how, you know, you may see something or go through an experience and get this feeling, and you don't even know where it comes from. Or, you know, you feel good about something, you're not sure why. Some of that is learned. It's kind of built into our brain.
Mm. I want to touch on the emotion, and you might argue it's not an emotion, but fear. I think I've seen or experienced a lot of people not going after what they want, in this case, or the case of this show, careers, because of fear. My sense is if the listener is out there thinking, oh my goodness, I have to look at my emotions, it's going to be even scarier, I'm not even going to go there. Is that the case, and how does fear play into emotional intelligence?
Well, fear is an emotion, definitely, and it can be one of those on the negative side of the ledger, you know, those emotions that prevent you from getting what you want. So there's some good exercises we have and ways to deal with fear, sort of allowing yourself to open up and to imagine different experiences and see that they may not be as fearful as they seem. But it's definitely something that's important to overcome if you want to really find what's best for you.
Mm. I'm curious how you got into this. You know, as a psychologist, I'm sure you could have picked any avenue in terms of specialization. Why emotional intelligence?
Well, you know, my involvement is in the area of testing and developing, you know, psychological tests and other kinds of tests. And for years, our focus was, like as many psychologists, on the negative. You know, I was heavily involved in looking at people with depression, with anxieties or fear, as you mentioned, phobias, schizophrenia, like all the negative stuff. And about 15 years ago, I was exposed to this idea that maybe instead of looking at what's wrong with people, as psychologists, we should start looking at what's right with people. And this is before sort of the advent of what we now call positive psychology. And the first book on emotional intelligence came out in about 1995, and it captured the work that we were starting to do, that why don't we look at people who are successful in life, study those people, and see what makes them tick.
Mm. I love it because, you know, many of the old institutions, universities, don't, you know, have this, and where does the student learn this? And often I've seen it's actually the parents who teach the kids that, and I'll work with a student, and it's like they're 20 years older because of their level of emotional intelligence. So this material has a lot of value, I think, in all areas of education as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just joining us here, we're about halfway through our show. We're speaking with the author of Emotional Intelligence for Dummies. Stephen J. Stein is on the phone with us, and we're talking about his book. We're about to go to break, but Stephen, before we do, if you could just quickly summarize how a person can get to know their emotions better, read someone else's emotions better, and then apply tools to gain better self-awareness. And then after the break, what we'll do is we'll actually dive more into detail in those three areas.
Okay, so there's reading your own emotions better. And again, that takes practice. It takes doing a number of exercises where you'll focus on how you feel. You'll expose yourself to certain situations, record your feelings. It could be anything from happiness on a scale of 1 to 10. It could be how frustrated you are at certain situations. So you get practice in the language of emotions and in experiencing emotions, knowing which ones you like, which ones you don't like. Reading other people's emotions, that's a whole other avenue to explore, where you start looking at other people's facial expressions, their body language, and tuning in and checking out with them, asking questions when you're dealing with someone about how they feel about certain things, and getting to match how they seem to feel and the messages their body is giving you or their face is giving you. And the third one you asked me about, what was that?
The issue around, actually, if I recollect you mentioning that it was how a person can actually become better emotional, have better emotional intelligence.
Better emotional intelligence. Okay, so basically you start off by practicing those two, by the awareness, the two awarenesses ones. The next one has to do with the ability to use emotions.
Right,
that's really exciting work that we're looking at, and that's the focus of a lot of the new research we're doing. I'll give you just one snippet of something that we do, studying world-class chess players. And what we noticed is that some people who are world-class know how to manage their moods to get done what they need to get done. And in one case, one chess master we looked at used a certain type of music. He happened to like AC/DC whenever he was going against a certain opponent. Mm. But not only that, he found another kind of music, a piece of music by Segovia, a classical guitarist, helped him with a different opponent. So he was able to know his emotions well enough that he could psych himself up by the right kind of music before he had a challenging task. Mm-hmm. And these are the kinds of efforts that we're now looking at to help people use their emotions to help them get ahead in certain situations.
Yeah, and so is it in this order? Start with your own emotions and then others?
It's better to sort of really know your own emotions, understand them, know when you're happy, know when you're sad, know what makes you happy, understand it, get a really good understanding. And again, in the book, we give exercises and really how to go about doing that. Then moving into others and start with others who are close to you, the people that you know well, because it's easier to do the exercises with them. And then going beyond that and trying to read acquaintances, friends, and then even strangers. And that can help you in a lot of situations, understanding where a stranger who says something to you that might get you upset, understanding where they're coming from can help you in dealing with that person.
Well, I've gone a lot through reading my emotions, and it's funny you talked about reading the emotions of others. I was with my girlfriend once, and she had this face, and I swore she was pissed off with me, and I asked her, "Are you pissed off with me?" And she said no, she just remembered she'd forgot her keys up in the apartment. And so I was not right.
It's so important.
Yeah.
The fact that you check that, because, you know, some people wouldn't take that step that you took and would launch into something right away and go off in the wrong direction and escalate a situation. But because you were able to check that and get that additional piece of information, that saved you from a lot of aggravation.
It did, and a lot of assumptions. I've noticed in life, assumptions are real bad. They don't serve to,
They can be. Actually, the real thing is to check out the assumption.
Check them out to confirm that the assumption is correct. Is that right?
Right, or incorrect.
Or incorrect, exactly. Okay, good. So we're going to take our break now, and when we come back, we'll talk more about that, apply it again more specifically to work, handling difficult people, how to optimize your, let's say you're on the job, how do you perform even better than you currently are using emotional intelligence. So back with the author of Emotional Intelligence for Dummies, Stephen J. Stein is our guest today. Don't go anywhere. If during the break you have a chance to Google Emotional Intelligence for Dummies, you can follow online to see what they have there. Back in just a moment.
CITR has more friends than ever before. We've partnered with tons of local businesses to bring you great discounts in the communities where you live, work, and play. Maybe Main Street is your main drag. Present your Friends of CITR card at Red Cat Records, Lucky's Comics, Devil May Wear, Thriller, Blim, The Kiss Store, The Wallflower Modern Diner, RX Comics, Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Vinyl Records, Regional Assembly of Text, and Twig and Hottie to receive fabulous discounts. So become a CITR member, get a free friends card, and feel the love.
Looking to take your career to the next level? Then get ready. Here comes Dr. Career on CITR, 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or online at citr.ca. He will inform, inspire, and give you practical steps to successfully land your next dream job.
And welcome back to Career Fast Track. I am your host, Philippe Desrochers. It's nice to have you. We're here speaking with the author of Emotions and Emotional Intelligence for Dummies, Stephen J. Stein. Stephen, I'm wondering, before we start talking more specifically about the work environment, of course, a poor intimate relationship can dramatically impact your work performance. Can you give us a few tips if we are having troubles with our intimate relationships and how emotional intelligence can help us with that?
Okay, well, there's a couple issues around that. I mean, one is the relationship itself, and the other might be the spillover of that relationship into your work. Okay. So, you know, the inability to sort of leave one at home and sort of separate it. But definitely, you know, interpersonal relations is a complex area, and there's a number of things you can do to improve your relationships. And one of them that we find is really powerful is the ability to listen. We call it, the fancy word is empathy that we use for it, but to put yourself in the other person's shoes. And the better we are at doing that, the better we are at managing conflict with others. It doesn't mean that we agree with everything the other person is saying, but at least we have an idea of where they're coming from in terms of the relationship. And that can help us maybe, cool down that difficulty or that fight that we're having.
Mm. That's interesting. So empathy, that's an emotion, that's an indication of emotional intelligence, right?
Yeah, people high in empathy are really, tend to be high in emotional intelligence.
So it's a sign of strength in terms of, from an emotional perspective, it's not a sign of weakness.
Yeah, if you think of people like in the world that we think of with high empathy, you think of someone like Bill Clinton, who, has been seen as a very strong person. He hasn't been seen as a weak person. But he's noted for his high levels of empathy, his ability to really listen to other people around him, and that's made him very successful in life. People say the same thing about Barack Obama to a large degree, that he appears to be really good at listening to what other people are saying and responding to their needs.
And the art of empathy is actually to visualize, the way I do it is I think in my head, if I was them, what would I be concerned with, or why am I, what would I, so let's say I picture myself in my girlfriend's shoes. I'm like, she's upset, and I put myself in her shoes. Suddenly I'm, oh my goodness, I'm upset too. So it's just, you see her perspective, and so you treat her or the other person from a different, I notice we're very different when we do that. It's very interesting.
It's excellent. Yeah, it puts you in a different position, and you get to see the problem from a different view.
So I applied empathy to you just now, and I thought if I was in your shoes right now, the word passion came out, or what it is you would want the listener to really leave this our conversation with. We don't have to wait till the end to share it. So. If there was one thing that you were to communicate, you put so much work into this. What is it? Sum it up. Let's do it right now.
I really want them to understand that, emotions can be a good thing. They're not just that bad thing that you originally thought that they were. Many people tend to think that emotions are this negative thing that, there's all these bad connotations. I want them to understand that emotions are there for a reason. And as far as we understand, they can really help us in our lives. They can help us in many different ways. And I'd like people to just explore that, to just think about all the ways that we can use our emotions to make good decisions in life. We can use our emotions to help influence other people around us. And we can influence emotions to help us get things done, because we feel motivated. We can motivate ourselves to do what we need to do by using our emotions in the right way.
Well, that's very interesting. I'd like to actually bring that to the work. So in a work setting, emotional intelligence helps dramatically. So if you are empathetic, that's a quality of emotional intelligence. What are other qualities? Now, you talked about making decisions, solving problems, motivating ourselves. So that's effect. But how do they actually work on that emotionally?
Well, there's a whole bunch of different levels. One is self-awareness that we talk about, or emotional self-awareness in terms of, again, understanding your feelings. So it's knowing what you're good at and what you're not good at. So at work, maybe you like spending your time on the computer a lot, sort of surfing the net, or you like to spend your time socializing and talking to other people or talking to customers. So it's understanding yourself and getting to know what things make you feel good about what you're doing at work, and trying to find ways to capitalize on that. So if you're very much of a people person, you want to try and organize your workplace or your job so your focus is largely on that and less on the administrative paperwork and so on.
In your opinion, how does a person get rid of the influencers that do not allow us to pursue this self-awareness? Does that make sense?
Well, again, it's going to depend on who the influencers are. If they're people that you don't care about, you stay away from them.
Yeah.
If they're people who you have to report to, like your boss, or maybe it's your spouse, or people who are close to you in life, then you're going to have to find ways of dealing with them. And it's going to depend on who that is. If it's a boss, for example, your boss is a real pain in the neck and won't, let you be creative or do the things that you think would be better for the job, you have a heart-to-heart with your boss, and you say, look, we both want the same thing. We want success, right? And I think it's important that for me to be successful, these are some of the things that I have to do. And to really talk about that and see what the impediments are and see if you can come to some kind of mutual agreement on it.
Okay, so literally booking an appointment with your boss, I sometimes refer to this as an engagement conversation where you kind of get onto the same page. It's high level of communication, and I imagine that that's a sign of emotional intelligence as well.
Absolutely, because you have to remember that empathy I was talking about. You want to know where your boss is coming from. Chances are your boss wants you to be more efficient or to work harder or to whatever. You got to find out what it is if your boss is unhappy, what it is that's really making them unhappy. It may be something, you know, you may be making assumptions, as we also talked about, that aren't correct. You may think that your boss is unhappy because you missed yesterday for a dentist appointment, but they may be unhappy because they didn't get a report that you were supposed to have done.
Right.
So you got to really clarify that.
I like that. Clarify the barrier to the communication first before addressing. I see, because we can get caught up in that, and there's always this underlying issue. I like that. Could you just address or talk about for a moment this idea that, let's say, you notice you're very good with people, but you think you want to be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
What's the emotional intelligence of a person who's able to admit that doctor is not their calling, but maybe public relations is, for example?
And again, you can. There are ways to be good with people and be a doctor. If you're not good with people, be a radiologist or something. If you are good with people, then you know, be a family practice physician. But you know, people who have a good sense of themselves and their people skills, you know, you tend to know at some level if you like dealing with people. And in the book, we give you little quizzes just in case you're not sure. Like, you know, do you like going to parties or do you prefer staying home watching TV or playing on a computer or computer games? So there's all kinds of little questions you can ask yourself to find out if you are, in fact, a people person or not.
Mm-hmm.
Once you establish that, there's certain kinds of jobs that are more suited for you, you know, like customer service or other jobs if you are a people person.
So what we're talking a lot about here is self-awareness. I notice that a lot of people get caught up in the get promoted concept.
Mm-hmm.
You've probably heard of the Peter principle, where you get promoted until you're incompetent, and that's why your career stops.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Well, we find that happens a lot, especially, let's take, for example, salespeople. One of the biggest mistakes organizations often make is they take their best salesperson and promote them to being a manager. Without any, you know, understanding of what you need to be a manager,
right.
It's a completely different set of skills.
Mm-hmm.
Being managed, a manager involves dealing with people, doing administrative work, managing people, and those are different skills from being a good salesperson. And I'm amazed at how often I see this happening in organizations where they still do this, as opposed to picking the best manager to be the next manager. And rewarding your salesperson for doing what they do best, which is selling, and finding a way to make them a happy salesperson.
Mm. Very interesting. We see that a lot, and I would hope I hope the listener now is seeing that maybe if they're in a situation where they're if they had more self-awareness, they possibly might not be so caught up by moving up. Maybe it's a lateral move or moving from organization, which is the smartest move for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
My last question, we're about to wrap up, we're learning a lot here, is I call it the graveyard secret. And the graveyard secret is a question that is typically a secret that you know about emotional intelligence that maybe you never wrote in the book. Or it's a secret you would possibly take to the grave because it is of such value to you. Is there such a secret, a graveyard secret, that you may have as maybe a final parting gift to our listeners?
A graveyard secret. Well, one of the, I guess, the big sort of secrets about emotional intelligence is how sometimes too much emotional intelligence in a specific area can maybe get in the way. An example being, we want people to be assertive because there's lots of great, you know, reasons to be assertive, to get things done. But sometimes people who are a little too assertive end up either putting their foot in their mouth or just not getting what they want. Mm. So it's not only having a lot of emotional intelligence that's important, but knowing when to back off in certain situations. Mm. Sometimes less is more. Another example we found, impulse control. That's kind of an emotion we look at. And we looked at collection agents, people who collect money. So we thought, again, being high in emotional intelligence would make you better at being a collection person. But the little secret we found was that actually being low in some areas made you better. So if you had low impulse, you were impatient as opposed to patient, you collected more money from people who owed it to you.
Very good. So there are jobs that have emotional intelligence profiles.
Yep.
Oh, and a person can actually learn more about that.
Exactly.
Oh.
Yeah, we've documented some of those. Actually, some of those are in my first book, which is called The EQ Edge, where we actually talk about the profiles of different occupational groups.
Well, Stephen, can you, as we wrap up here, tell our audience how they can get more involved with your work, get your book?
Well, the easiest way to get the book, of course, is through any of the online services, Amazon.ca, chapters.ca, or just go to your local Chapters Indigo bookstore or any other local bookstore. I'm sure they'll have it there.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you can check out our website, which is www.mhs.com, or go to stevenstein.ca.